You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
That woman engaged herself to me.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes, Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. That's one of the great, great West stories. And not only because it's a great story, tying back to West's past and a woman that was very dead set on starting the clock on what she perceived as what her life should be, which included getting married fairly quickly and then having kids and settling down, I believe, in Cincinnati. But the fact that Wes told the story so often and mentioned it so often, it tickled him to no end. So it kind of hit on two levels. So, another great reminder of Chris Wessling there.
I never knew that woman's real name. I just knew her by that tagline.
She engaged herself to me. Today, any thoughts there, Greg? No.
I thought you said it well. I don't know much about her.
No, nobody does. She was basically that woman for many years in the lore of the Around the NFL podcast. Speaking of Wes, this is a bittersweet episode for us because Greg rolled out his top 101 NFL free agents of 2021. And if you have any knowledge and back history of this show, and I'll speak personally on this, I loved the top 101 because it's really the beginnings of the scientist lab. Something I pumped up to no end was about the top 101, where Greg and Wes would come up with their own list and then kind of work together to figure out a final 101. Mark and I even countered with our own like underground list that people really seem to enjoy. And maybe on some level was superior, but the one that was the canon for NFL media was the Wes Greg edition. And we're going to get to that today. In addition to some news in the NFL, including a big decision by one of the great defensive players of the last 25 years. But Greg, you did, I thought you really, well written and well thought out the intro for the top 101. You kind of reminisced about the exercise and doing it with Wes all those years.
Yeah, this is one of, many times of year, and just things in the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's been tough. It's tricky. Like, I don't know, I know you guys are dealing with the same thing. Like, we're podcasting and like we're going through it as friends and coworkers together, and I don't know, there's no right answer, but it was really emotional for me last week doing this and just everything. Like, it's still so fresh, you know what I mean? But I did think about how Wes and I's relationship was so much about like arguing. It started that way, like on AOL Instant Messenger at Roto World about fantasy rankings, just like going back and forth. And that continued here for the last 7 years doing this. And I do think it mellowed out in the last few years. And I think Wes's cancer battle was part of that. And maybe just us getting older. Like it was almost like we didn't want to waste our time arguing about football rankings, as much, but I still, I wrote about that. I still thought about how, you know, this fall, driving back from chemo, you know, football was certainly still a big part of the conversation. And that's like, you know, that's a huge part of your friendship because that's like, I don't know. It was just like a nice dose of normality in what was such a brutal, which is such a bad year overall, to just like talk football and go back and forth. I remember us like trying to rank where Justin Herbert fit, like among all time rookie quarterbacks, because we both sort of loved him. And that's, you know, that's, there is something about that. Seth Payne was on our show, not to keep going on, but I remember he said he, you know, and this was, you know, before Wes passed, but he thought, I thought it was interesting to hear from a listener that he thought the way that we interacted and showed our love for Wes during the season, he thought was, you know, really affected him. And because that's sort of like how guys love each other. And that's sort of what I think about when with these rankings and stuff like that. That is part of how you show you love each other, is because it means everything and it means nothing. And we sort of like understood that this stuff, it didn't really mean everything, but it was like also how we found joy and like friendship and love.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the way you put that. And that is, it is a very, a guy thing, because sometimes guys, you know, struggle to, show how much they mean to each other. And then it will come out in something as passionate as an argument about where Marcus Mariota belongs on a list. And you and Wes, both respected each other so much as well in terms of your football knowledge. And that's why you were the scientist. So it was always great theater on the show. And not to mention, I think it also made the best type of this exercise, which you see on every other website. This one, I think, you could stack up against any other. So Greg, you know, this is a different world for us now as a trio without Wes, but there are all these little micro things as well that I guess some of us go through individually. You doing this without him, that certainly qualifies. So,
yeah, it's tricky because it's like, and I know, you know, Mark's, I'm looking at Mark and he making me emotional, and it thinks, I don't know. Oh, like, aren't you guys struggling with this? Like, the public part of it is like, I don't know. It's tricky because like, everything we're doing is like we're celebrating. I thought Damashek, so many people have spoken so well, and we've done our best too, and I love that too. But it's like part of me is just like sad, you know, and pissed off too a little bit, and like that doesn't necessarily make like good podcasting. But podcasting is like, you know, our job too. Like, so it's just very hard to navigate. I have been really struggling with that part of it, like the podcast part of it. You don't need to comment on that. I don't know. I'm just getting it off my chest, kind of, because there's part of me that's just like pissed still too, like pissed that he's doing
I'm
this.
Totally with you, Greg. That, I mean,
you
that
know,
is-
like he would like not to do the whole like what he would do. Sorry to cut you off, but it's like, a little bit of me is indignant, like Wes would be indignant. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we didn't see this coming. Not now, you know? So that's still, we have to let ourselves feel that too.
We do something as a group. It's just an organic thing. But like, I feel like every few days we'll be on a group text chat and we'll be sharing photos of Wes. And you go, the way things are now and everybody has them, like you have a photo cloud that, and for all of us, we're lucky enough, we have families and we have all these like treasured memories of our kids and times with our wives and families and friends. And we're all kind of looking back and reminiscing about the past, which feels like a romantic now when you look back at the four of us together and some of the amazing things that we got to do together. And when Friday night, when I went, I was looking for just going back in time at different combines, and to see last year, we were in that luxury suite at, I almost called it the Hoosier Dome. I'm like 100 years old, at Lucas Oil Stadium. And it was Mark wearing a ridiculous terry cloth robe from the hotel. And it was Daniel Jeremiah sitting with us talking about, you know, Justin Herbert and the incoming QB prospects and Joe Burrow. And it was me, Greg, and Wes. And Wes could not look any healthier. He couldn't look any more alive or vibrant. And it just struck me, and I think that's part of the thing that sucks and makes me mad, is like how quickly it all changed. And it went from Wes with us looking better, looking frankly better than all of us, sitting in that suite, to being gone 1 year later when the combine should have been happening. That gets me mad. And I know we're all on the same page there, just that he was taken from us in such a sudden way, not in the way like someone can lose a loved one in an accident or an act of violence or whatever, but the ravage of the second cancer, I don't think any of us were ready for anything like this. So it is a process, and I'm with you, Greg, that it's been strange doing this. It really is.
Yeah, and don't take my silence for a lack of thoughts. I just, you know, we all were together this weekend too, and
It's hard. It's okay. Like, I think that's, it's all okay. Like, I, you know, the thing I just mentioned about anger, like, I tried to even, you know, it's like, I want to let myself feel that too. Like, it is so recent. It's like, on some level, our, like, the natural human instinct is like to start moving forward, and it feels like it's been a long, it hasn't been long. It's been like less than
3.5 weeks,
man. Yeah. It's been less than a month. And so we thank our listeners too. You know, obviously they're like part of this too, but I think they get, you guys get that we're going along through it. And like, you know, sometimes it'll be like, I can do like a normal show and put my mind into that, because we're professionals, and like, I enjoy doing a normal show that has nothing to do with, you know, that doesn't have to do with Wes necessarily, because we've been doing that, and that's what we do, and we love doing that. But the whole like thing where it's combined, there's no avoiding that, I guess. Mm. You know, like, he is our friend privately, but there's no avoiding like how it's all mixed in together. So that's just something we're going to have to figure out as we go.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, what Mark was saying is like, we were all together this weekend, and it was so happy to be with you guys and all of us be together. But it was in sort of that moment that I was like, oh my God, like, he is supposed to be here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was like so hard.
Yep. It has been nice to have each other, and we got together at Connie and Gonzo's, and you know, Lakeisha was there with Link and Rhoda, Lakeisha's mother, and that is all great. But it does, like you guys are saying, everything, you're doing that and you're doing it, you feel like it's the right thing to do to get together and spend time with each other, especially after realizing how things can be taken from you so quickly. But then at the same time, there's just this like, yeah, but this is the exact type of setup that the one person above all of us would have enjoyed. And it's him. I'm throwing cornhole with Gonzo, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, Wes taught me about cornhole. This guy would have been playing. I would have been playing against him right now. So, man, it's tough. And we're doing our best. And again, we thank all the listeners for being so supportive and being cool during this time. And we know it was a loss to you guys too. So, just 3.5 weeks out, and we're figuring things out. So today's show, yes, the free agency 101, we're going to hit that, but let's do some news first, including, yes, big news involving an all-time great.
I'm eating burritos bigger than your ass.
So you would think that's an awkward transition, but no. Wes, I think, would have gotten a kick out of J.J. Watt saying, I've eaten burritos bigger than your ass. All right, the Cardinals are the team that lands J.J. Watt. What's that all about? The Arizona Cardinals signed the former Texan to a 2-year, $31 million contract. This comes after weeks of speculation that Watt would land elsewhere, the Packers, the Browns, the Bills, the Steelers, all teams that a lot of people thought. I mean, to that point, our TV producer, and he does a wonderful job for us, Jason Kleinman, had sent me a text just this morning before the news went down that J.J. Watt apparently is on Peloton, and he had listed under his bio SB 56, Super Bowl 56, ellipses, GB, ellipses, CLE, ellipses, BUF. So like a little Easter egg buried within his exercise bike apparatus. And then he goes and signs with the Cardinals. So, Mark, I know you're probably, I would guess, A, without putting words in your mouth, you're disappointed because the Browns would have been a nice fit. B, what do you think about where he ends up going?
I kind of loved the landing spot for him. That's assuming that you get, you know, Chandler Jones playing at Chandler Jones levels. But that defense, I thought, made some strides and were interesting at times last year. And it was guys like, you know, Buda Baker, Hassan Reddick, who, you know, blew up in the wake of Chandler Jones not being out there. And so I love the idea of J.J. Watt being added to that. You have a ferocious pass rush, and it complements, you know, what they're trying to do while growing on offense. To me, it's a good landing spot. Am I disappointed from a Browns angle? No, but I never really bought the idea that he was going to take, like, because just no humans seem to do this in free agency, less money to play for right. What he saw was a Super Bowl contender. I think this is a contender. I think that they were a bit of a disappointing, uneven team a year ago, but it brings a total new, intriguing angle to the defense. And I think that if you're Russell Wilson and people like that in that division, you're thinking, whoa, what happened here? This is an ugly development for the rest of that division.
Yeah, Greg, we don't know. Like Hassan Reddick, as an example, this guy had, what, 7 sacks in a game last season. He's on your free agency 101 list. Chandler Jones, a year lost to injury. We don't know if all these guys end up with J.J. Watt, but if they do, that is an interesting wrinkle to this team that maybe you have this, like, three-headed Ghidorah pass rush.
Jones and Watt, you know, are two of the best, you know, pass rushers, defensive linemen in the last decade. So it's pretty interesting to have them playing together. They're both in their 30s now. But you put up the Our Lads list of, like, their, you know, depth chart, and it's all red. And red means you're a free agent. So it's not just Reddick, but, you know, Corey Peters, who was started early and then got hurt for them, Devondre Campbell, Patrick Peterson, Drake Kirkpatrick. They have a lot to do on defense in terms of free agency, but that's a fun combo, Jones and J.J. Watt. And I think it speaks to them feeling like now is a time to push, like that they could not afford a 6-10 season necessarily in a very tough division, or that maybe Keimbaum, who's had a lot of chances there, and Kingsbury, you know, I think they're feeling pressure to keep the ball moving forward. And Mark, you made the good point on, you know, taking less money. I mean, it just goes to show, I think these other teams that were more obvious Super Bowl contenders were just not going to offer that much money. So it does come down to that. He got $23 million guaranteed. He's going to get $15 per year. It's basically a two-year $31 million deal that he'll probably see both years, and that's good money. That's pretty good money.
I was going to say that's good money, but that's not break the bank money. Had you heard, Mark, something about what the Browns offer, or if they ever made an offer? Like, what were they prepared to pay?
I didn't, but their cap situation isn't terrible. I would imagine they would have been competitive, and maybe, you know, maybe some of these teams did offer that, and he chose Arizona for a specific reason. I like the idea of him not being the only guy on that line, because in Cleveland you would have had Myles Garrett and J.J. Watt. I mean, you know, the metrics show how incredibly effective he was as an internal inside pass rusher too, you know, last year, and he played a ton for them. So I just think it's the versatility is there. And I mean, I guess he could have looked at other teams, but I don't know what the Browns offered.
They weren't close. That's the thing, is, you know, he is an older pass rusher. You know, those guys don't necessarily get break the bank money. It's like Clowney last year probably regrets not taking an early deal, because he ended up accepting like 1-9. So sometimes things change fast, and my guess is the Cardinals were financially a lot more aggressive than some of the teams like the Bills and the Browns who wanted him, but wanted him at their price, maybe 2 for $20 and like 12 guaranteed or something like that, if I had to guess. By the way, though, Dan, not to throw Kleinman under the bus here, but that was a fake J.J. Watt Peloton.
Oh.
Right, and it was K.J. Watt, and, you know, I am a novice compared to you at Peloton, Dan, but I found it suspicious when I took a look at the overall presentation. A little Peloton prankster was up to his tricks.
Oh, no. Field Yates was the one that tweeted it out.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, like a lot of NFL media.
What a snake pit.
Who right. just, you know, should have their journo hats on and maybe not just accept every.
Oh, that's a bummer. You know what? I'm going to put it on Yates because I don't know him personally and let Jason off the hook on that. Okay.
I do know Field.
Interesting approach.
I do know Field.
But you know him, but
he's
I don't.
He's a nice guy. He listens to the show. At least he said that. I believe him.
I believe him. I'm not burying Field. I'm just saying I'm not going to take blame for it, even though I spoke the words into the microphone. So if then I have to assign blame to someone. Am I going to do it with the guy, Jason, who does great work with our show, or Field, a perfectly good man, I understand, and a great NFL reporter? I gotta bury Field in the biggest of all spots.
It's a very interesting process that you're going through here during the show, Dan.
Field did do the like Homer Simpson walking back into the bush thing afterwards. He didn't delete it. It was too late. People knew he had done it.
Ouch.
JJ shot it down too. He said, "I don't even have a bike." No,
tough sitch.
He would
for everyone
funny
but
on
me.
A Peloton bike. He would just look like
he
those
would
bikes
kill
are,
it.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks like too large of a man.
And to the money thing, the fact that the Cardinals probably just offered far more compensation. It's not really a chase the ring destination, and you could, I guess, squint and say, "Oh, Kyler Murray, year three," and you could look at things. Maybe the Cliff Kingsbury thing clicks, and the defense with this monster pass rush, I guess. But to me, a team like Buffalo or Pittsburgh, that would have been where I would have guessed, and then Cleveland because Cleveland's buzzy now. So this is, to me, a big surprise that he went there. But good for him. Get that money and playing in it's a nice place to play and live. People love Arizona, professional athletes especially. So, all right.
Rings are great, but your last, monster payday of your lifetime usually ends
that
up
that can
weighing,
be great too.
Yeah, way in larger. Maybe not for everyone, but I guess that I think that normally weighs larger.
All right, let's say just to have this right, I want to look it up. Spot rack. Is that how you say it? Spo track?
I like overthecap.com, but they both work.
All right. I just want to know how much he's made. Career earnings. So I prepare to bury J.J. Watt. Hang on a second. Okay. He's made over $100 million in total cash. If you said to J.J., how much is he getting guaranteed here, Greg?
23.
Okay. You get $23 million and you go to the Cardinals and you have a 20% chance of winning the Super Bowl. Or I can give you $12 million guaranteed and you have a 70% chance of getting to the Super Bowl. What do you pick? You take the money, you take the guap, or you take a better chance at a ring? Because
I think he's telling us what he picks. He's telling us. And like I am a little surprised by the landing spot, but I think, you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract. So the Cardinals, two off seasons in a row, have taken the best player away, not named Deshaun Watson, from the Texans. So,
I like that. The Hopkins mix. And to play devil's argument, if you're Watt, and I don't think he's thinking this way.
I like devil's argument better than devil's advocate. Personally.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would be like, it's impossible to know who's going to the Super Bowl anyways. No one, none of these teams have more than like an 8% chance. And so is the difference between the Browns and the Cardinals worth like getting excited about, or even Bill, like really almost any team other than maybe like the Chiefs or something? It's like, who really knows who's going
to Yeah, because I wouldn't have the same issue if we went to the Browns. I would have been like, oh, this is a smart move for a team on the rise. But like, what's the difference ultimately between the Cardinals and the Browns right now in terms of Super Bowl hopes? Maybe not that different. Bills in Pittsburgh?
Too much can change, sure.
It's hard to get there.
In other news, other quarterback news, this according to The Athletic, the 49ers have connected with the Panthers, checking in on Teddy Bridgewater. The latest sign, if this is indeed the case, Greg, that San Francisco is looking to either replace Jimmy Garoppolo quarterback or bring in someone else as an option, because even when Jimmy G's on the field, you can't guarantee he's on the field because he's injured all the time. So it makes sense to have somebody back there. But yet another sign here, Greg, that San Francisco is very curious about what else they could have behind center.
And that, you know, Carolina seems, you know, dead set on moving on from Teddy Bridgewater. This was kind of buried in a Carolina article of what they might do. And it sounded like the 49ers checked in maybe early in the offseason, especially when you're getting all these Panthers want to do this and that reports, you know, including this, you know, they went hard after Stafford. And since nothing happened, and since then, John Lynch and Shanahan have kind of come out pretty strong for Jimmy G. It makes me think maybe they were just checking in to see, hey, if you want to give Teddy away, like, we'd take him. But, you know, they're just, they're poking around. I'm with you, Dan. I think they're going to bring in, my guess is they're bringing someone with Jimmy G. And maybe it'll be a Teddy type, or maybe it'll be like a rookie. We'll see.
I mean, John Lynch has sort of been vocal about the fact that they needed to upgrade the backup quarterback position. And if you want to go back to the what ifs, had the Patriots signed Jimmy G and, you know, a little bit earlier and not allowed Tom Brady to stay there as long, I mean, which would have been a nonsensical move. I mean, Jimmy G is what Tom and Brady is not, in the sense that he's not stayed healthy. And you got these quarterbacks that, you know, maybe they are not elite, but they are giving you availability week after week. And we've seen two seasons under Kyle Shanahan go totally haywire because Jimmy G got hurt, and he gets more out of backup quarterbacks than anyone in the league, I'd say. And so maybe if it's Teddy, not as a clear competitor, but someone that comes in and can prevent the Niners, who would have been a playoff team last year, minus the health issues, more security at the most important position.
In other quarterback news, Rap Sheet reported that the Washington football team is ready to part ways with Alex Smith, the 36-year-old reigning comeback player of the year. We know his story. It's inspirational. Aspirational? Is it both inspirational and aspirational?
You could aspire to do the same thing. I don't think many athletes would want to duplicate what happened to Alex Smith so far.
Tiger Woods would like to. He aspires to have a similar path. Anyway, he's owed $26 million this year, and Washington saves a substantial amount of money if they cut him before June 1st. So, Mark, it looks like the end of the road for Alex Smith in Washington. It feels like a guy, if he still wants to play, that would be an excellent backup somewhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. At this point, we just don't have like 8 or 9 quarterback positions that are like dangerously vacant. So I don't know where that landing spot would be. People have mentioned the Jaguars because there's a relationship with Urban Meyer, and they'll have a rookie, and it could be like a, you know, he can go play. I think it does make sense. And I mean, even Alex Smith, you know, because he's one of the better guys out there too, said, look, I know that what happened last year in Washington totally upended their process of looking for like a long-term quarterback. So I think if you're a Washington fan, this was the desired result. You don't go back into next season with that same situation. You've got Taylor Heineke, and you draft someone if you're not going to make a trade for someone of name, of note.
Smith had a very like honest interview with Esquire. You know, he said he messed up their plans.
Right.
And this, it made me annoyed with the whole like sports blogosphere. And, you know, we were part of it too. I worked at PFT and was part of, you know. And I see what you're doing with the headline, like Alex Smith, colon, like I messed up Washington's plans. But it's like, that's not, we want our athletes to be honest in an interview. Like, and you knew exactly what he was saying. It was interesting hearing it from him, that they basically thought he wasn't ever going to make it back, and that they were going to get some of the cap space for him last year and not have to pay him all this guaranteed money. It's like, well, of course they thought that. Like, it was a crazy comeback. And the only reason he even ended up on the field is because Kyle Allen and Dwayne Haskins either stunk or got hurt. You know, that was why he got on the field. I was actually impressed with how he played. I thought he absolutely deserves a job. Now, I'm not saying he's like a top 40 quarterback, but he's like a backup type. And like those guys like him who are so good with young quarterbacks, they last till they're like 38 or 39. Like, so I think he does deserve a roster spot somewhere.
If you're a coach, think how much it would mean to have Alex Smith on your team if you're not leaning on him to be your starter. I mean, Sometimes the quarterback rooms are decided by the veterans that are in there helping the younger starters to see things that they never would otherwise.
It's like Alex Smith ripped Ron Rivera. No, I mean, it wasn't really.
And while you could connect the dots, and that's how this stuff goes often in our league, and you could say, okay, send him to Jacksonville as the backup. I don't know about Alex Smith. He's not playing if Trevor Lawrence is healthy. He'll never get on the field unless something terrible happens.
I don't think he's going to have a chance to really compete for a starting. If that's the only thing he wants, then maybe he will retire. Yeah, maybe he'll retire then.
Here's the second part of this, because I think he would have value as a backup. I wonder if he's looking at some of these jobs where if I have a path to get on the field, like Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami last year. Fitzpatrick's a free agent. Pittsburgh with Big Ben there now, like maybe go in there and you're the in case of emergency guy room. There. Yeah, it is. And how about the Eagles? You know, you go in there behind Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts doesn't progress, all of a sudden you're on the field again as the starter. I would think that he's probably, unless he wants to be a backup the rest of his career, would want to maybe go on a team where he had a chance to play.
I'm with you. I just think it'll be a hard market for – I go on one hand to saying I was impressed how well he played, you know, relatively, and they won a lot of games with him. But when you look at the free agent market, I don't even think he's going to crack my top 101. There's some pretty good backups out there. You know, Jameis, if you consider him a backup, whatever Cam is, Fitzpatrick, Tyrod, to me, I would – take over Alex Smith at this point, probably.
What about the quarterback that you have at 101?
Oh, yeah.
But stick a pin in it. Stick a pin in it. We're getting there.
Big reveal.
We're getting there. All right. In other news, Peter King, read it during the offseason. Read it during the season, too. But his Monday morning quarterback column had a nugget in it that a 17-game NFL regular season is, quote, highly likely this year. One bye week, so wouldn't it be two bye weeks. The playoffs, everything gets bumped back a week. So the Super Bowl, hypothetically, which is played here in Los Angeles in 2022, will be February 13th to February 6th. You ask me, all this is inevitable and there's no sense fighting it. Although, Mark, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I would say if you're going to really start moving around the schedule, and February is a dead sports month, you might as well just back it up and connect it with the weekend after, which is President's Day weekend, and then do what we should have had in this country for the last 40 years, that the day after the Super Bowl is a holiday. Ooh. Where you don't have school and work for many people. And all of a sudden, Sunday becomes this big party where you don't have to get up in the morning for work and school. That would be my only tweak. But I also don't need, Mark, I tell you this, I don't need another extra week in the season and another extra bye week. It already is very long for folks like us.
Well, it's...
Think of us!
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if, like, for some of these teams, when you get into, you know, post-November, where, yes, these certain champions are being forged, but other teams are, like, wandering in total darkness. There's just I could think of a number of teams every year where it's like, not a joy to watch them at this point, and their journey needs to end sooner, not later. But... like, I will say this, that it was inevitable. It's not a surprise at all. And based on what King reported, looking at what that extra game would be, it's AFC versus NFC with a different division than you'd face that year. So next year they already have, like, the AFC North will be battling on that 18th, 17th game against the NFC West, and it creates some really spicy extra matchups. So that's a positive. They talked about
who the Browns got, you know?
Cleveland, based on what I'm looking at here, would play Arizona. So here comes J.J. Watt Cleveland to find out which one of those two teams were the real Super Bowl contender. But then they're talking about, you know, the wild card weekend, which was, you know, there was a lot going on a wild card weekend with so many matchups. But one of them would be moved to Monday night potentially. So, you know, they are going to continue to put
a team on a short week
as they can. Well, but, you know,
a winning playoff team on a short week.
But the other, here's the flip side to that. The team that plays that Monday night would have an extra day or two of rest coming out of a really long regular season. So King was suggesting that a lot of coaches would like that. But you're right. It's new territory.
So on the other end of it, you're getting that extra day. Okay. All right.
I mean, this is...
Or you're getting an entire offseason, depending on who loses.
But. We've been doing this too long, and this is very inside football or whatever. But my first reaction to seeing this story takeoff was like Ian being like, "Like, we've known this for a long time. Why is he getting all the credit for breaking this?" You know, like Because like, I guess we kind of had, but he was just like putting the box around it. It's something I feel like we've forgotten that this has been coming, and Goodell has kind of mentioned it. But here it is. It does show the power of the NFL that like all these TV deals are getting signed after the pandemic with no problem, like doubling the money and rising the money in the 17th week. I like the President's Day idea, Dan. That's a really good idea. But I don't want, yeah, even one extra week seems like a lot right now. I mean, they're playing with fire. I know it'll be fine, but I am one that believes 16 is a lot to ask. It's just different than other sports. You know, it's why the players have had issues. When you just think about the state that these teams are in, like Mark said, it's just a lot to ask on the body to make these guys play anymore. It's not like baseball or whatever where you can just throw extra games here or there.
Right. In the NBA, it's like there's all these discussions, and you know that I have my takes about the length of regular seasons in other sports, but it's like,
let's go through it again, though.
Well, no, but let's rest LeBron for like 10 games in a row because guess
what?
He's
played every game this year.
Well, I know that, but it's just utterly meaningless. But football isn't that way, and you can't do that. But one little thing that will annoy me a lot visually and in terms of just the way I think about teams, we will never have an 8-8 team again. I think that 8-8 sometimes perfectly describes what a team is, and there are no 500 records. Unless what they'll probably do is turn it into 18 games a few years from now, and we got 9-9 teams, which also sits poorly with me.
It would change Jason Garrett's whole legacy. Like 8-8 was his thing for a long time.
An odd number is weird, but if you want to look at it half glass full, and coaches will love this. It's like at the end of the season, you're either above 500 or you're below. Which side do you pick? And like, they're going to get a lot of mileage out of that.
Well, you're right about that.
All right. And by the way, just looking at not the NFL calendar, the straight up Earth calendar, be aware that Christmas this year falls on a Saturday.
Oh, I saw this too.
There will likely be two games on Saturday. So just keep that in mind because I know we have young children and families and lives. And this speaks, Mark, you and I have been doing this a long time at NFL Media. Greg, I think you might have even been here the last time it happened. 2022, Sunday, falls on Christmas Day. So what are they going to do, just a full slate of Saturday games? I think that's what they do
last. That's what they did last time. Yeah, no, I was there. I think that would have been 2015.
Then. Well, I think it happened just, 2 years in a row for us, didn't it?
Okay, well, because we
one, they moved
Eve.
It to Saturday, and then one, they have to move it back. You're right. We're in a bad couple of years here.
We had a nice little run there where it was the holidays are falling in the beginning of the week. Now it's bang time, so just buckle up.
One last little thing. I hope all this, we're kicking everything into overdrive here with the schedule. Are we still going to make one team play 5 preseason games? If that isn't corrected to some degree,
they're moving it back at least one game. That right? They're chopping one game off. But I think
come out having learned anything from this past season, though? And I'm talking about OTAs, all this business. Can we be a little bit less frenetic?
Okay.
Preseason.
I mean, I think OTAs and the off-season program are important. Maybe we don't need to be so, like slaves to the coverage of it as much. But I think that especially for the younger players, the preseason, I'm with you.
How about this? 2 preseason games, case closed.
That's plenty.
Okay. All right. Deshaun Watson, we touched on it briefly on our last show that the Texans seem so behind the times right now and not understanding really anything, having any awareness of what's happening in their building, outside their building. Rap Sheet reported last week that no one believes Deshaun Watson will be traded. And PFT wrote something this week that Watson would lose over $20 million if he sits out the season. And this idea, Greg, that the Texans, yes, all these teams are trying to figure out their 2020 plans or 2021 plans, and ostensibly so too are the Texans, but at the same time, they're on their own timetable right now, and they're not even answering the phone when Deshaun Watson calls come in. So the idea that this is going to maybe go past the draft, whether or not Watson comes or goes, and how does that impact landing spots and interest in a trade? They're probably going to end up, Greg, just screwing themselves on this, and they'll get value maybe that isn't at the same level if they would have just accepted it now, make the move ahead of this draft. This could end up backfiring on them.
Well, I just think, like, what's the intent of putting this all out there and not answering the phone, which to me is really interesting. The Panthers reporters said that, you know, like, that's how they're deciding to play it. I mean, they know what they're doing. They know there's a chance that he might not be there, but their strategy is, we're not going to answer the phone. We're going to put out there that we got no timeline. We're digging in. So that I take out of that a trade is, you know, less likely to happen before free agency, you know, when we hear this about the deadlines. I don't think it's impossible. I think if, like, the Panthers picked up the phone and, like, before Nick Caserio could hang up, they were like, 5 first-round picks, or, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I think they would listen, but they're trying to drive the price up, and it feels like the draft is more the flashpoint. But I'm not ruling out that the draft could be in play.
I think something that's, like, just, you know, poisonous and concerning, if you're David Culley, the head coach who walked into this bee's nest, and I understand wanting the opportunity, and coaches have a mindset where, you know, we don't dwell on the negative. We're going to go in and succeed and go around obstacles. But this is the biggest obstacle any team in the NFL has faced in a long time. And Watson has basically said to Culley when they talked, like, my issues aren't with you and they're not with Nick Caserio. So those two making good with him has no impact on this decision. It's much deeper. It's with the owner. It's with the journey, the loss of trust. And here's the problem. Like, what other core, if let's say they move on from Watson, and this will be for another day, but whether it's you're drafting a rookie or bringing in another young quarterback, like, these guys talk to each other. They all see what Deshaun Watson's gone through, what he is intending to do with his career. They're not going to be happy to be there either. It's a mess.
That's what's happening in the news. All right, let's get to it. The top 101, Greg, where does this one stack up in terms of pure talent in the top 20, talent overall? Is this a good free agent class, a bad one, in the middle somewhere? Where would you grade it?
I my instinct was it wasn't as good as the last couple. But then I went and looked back at these lists, and man, there were some dark years, like in 2013, 15, where it's like Jairus Byrd is number one, and it gets down pretty quick. So that's sort of what normally happens, because I'm anticipating so many of these top 20 players are going to get the franchise tag. So, you know, Dak, Allen Robinson, Leonard Williams possibly, Justin Simmons, Chris Godwin, so many, Taylor Moten, maybe Brandon Scherf, like so many of these guys, that Galladay, that are in the top 15 that you're like, oh, those would be cool. Those will get tagged. And then it's not as spicy. But there's good depth, I think, in the pass rush. I think there's good depth at safety. It's not as many good wide receivers, I don't think. I think there's more quarterbacks that are available than usual, even though no one seems too excited about them. I mean, it's better than normal, like guys who could actually be competent.
Who was that again? You had the example.
Jairus Byrd.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Jairus. Of course.
Byrd.
Our guy.
All right. So, with that said, good little setup there, Greg. I'm going to read off 1 through 10, just if you're curious, and check out the whole thing at NFL.com/top101. Top 101. That's easy. You have Dak at 1, Trent Williams at 2, Allen Robinson 3, Leonard Williams, look at you, buddy, all the way up at number 4, Justin Simmons 5, Chris Godwin 6, J.J. Watt 7, already off the board, so we're down to a top 100 in a way. Almost to the point where it happens so close to the publish, Greg, that maybe Watt comes out and then you give it a true 101 vibe again, but then again, you're taking out some major name brand appeal there. I understand. It's, you know,
That's not up to me, but yeah, once these guys get tagged, they're going to get taken out, so you have to write up some extra ones. There's going to be cut guys added in. This is a living, breathing document.
I would imagine that this the Watt news development maybe even shook up some art attached with it. If they were to publish it certain ways, it probably caused all sorts of chaos for the people behind the scenes.
Shaq Barrett, much to Mark's chagrin, up at number 8. Aaron Jones, the running back, 9. And Taylor Moten, number 10. Okay, so let's have some fun with this. First of all, let's get Ricky involved. At some point, Ricky, I want you to jump in and we'll do a random pick generator, and you're going to throw a number out there, and then we're going to talk about whoever that is. You want to do one right off the bat?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's see. Hold on.
We gonna like spin a wheel or anything?
Yeah, I'm gonna pull up Google.
Uh oh.
Let's see.
Let's check out our search history here.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay. Ricky. You ready? You gotta use incognito, Ricky. You gotta use incognito. All right, number 12. Okay, right off the top, Bud Dupree. That's a good one. All right, so you got Bud Dupree, the edge rusher with the Steelers, age 28. Blew out his ACL, which was a major bummer and setback for the Steelers. I like that one. I like the generator, Greg, right off the bat, going with some intrigue. I like him as a kind of a tough decision whether to go all in on a guy like him.
I do, too, because I think it gets at what, to me, was the hardest part of ranking this class and the best part of this class, which are the pass rushers. I kept resorting it how, you know, and Dupree was lower for a while. And then I thought, you know, ACLs aren't as big a deal as they used to be. And it's more of like a 3-year deal. And he's, you know, really diverse in terms of his skill set. And so there's a whole bunch of guys that I talked, you know, Shaq Barrett, Watts now off the board, but Shaq Barrett, Dupree, Carl Lawson, who I really like, from Cincinnati. Ngakoue is out there. Matthew Judon is out there. How is the market going to value all these guys? They're all pretty good pass rushers. I ultimately put Dupree pretty high despite the torn ACL because Trey Hendrickson is another guy from New Orleans.
Ooh, I like him.
Dupree ended up going up above all those guys because I think I know what I'm getting with him even coming off an injury. I think he's a little more complete than the rest of those guys.
I just want to get this out of the way because, you know, if Wes was involved with the list this year, he'd definitely be lower by virtue of the averaging of the numbers. I cannot believe you have Jameis Winston at 23 on this list. I mean, that is, it's almost like you're punking the audience here, Greg. Your write-up reads, it will take the right coach, but Winston could improve a handful of starting quarterback situations. Don't be surprised if that happens in New Orleans. First of all, I'd like to know which situations he's improving. And Mark mentioned earlier 101. 101 is Mitch Trubisky. And I am not a Mitch Trubisky fan, but can you honestly tell me that these men should be separated by 75-plus spots? Or you've been drinking this Winston juice for so long, and now on top of you digging in your heels back with Wes during the times of Mariota Winston back at draft time, now he's got that New Orleans Saints-like slickness on him, and you love that too. Like, why? How in the hell is Jameis Winston a top 25 free agent based on the tape he's put out there in his entire NFL career? Come on now.
I did put in the intro how I heard Wes's voice often while doing these. And, you know, one of it was like, you got to be kidding me with Jameis Winston. I mean, he would have put him at 75. And then I did bump up guys like Mike Hilton, who I know Wes loves, you know, I look at quarterback differently here, where to me, if you have a chance to even be an average starting quarterback, you get a huge bump. I just think the position's worse so much that's why Winston, Cam, Fitzpatrick's fairly high in the top 40. But Winston is the one out of all of those that I think has a real chance to have a good second part of his career. I know you're burying him, but it's like, imagine if like Sam Darnold had a third of the stats that Jameis Winston did in his first 3 years. Like, he has produced, and here are the teams he could upgrade as a starter: the Patriots, the Saints. I'd have to keep going through to find some more. I mean, but I think he could be a starter, and he's my favorite of all the free agent quarterbacks.
Him with Sean Payton, though, I would be intrigued. I would be intrigued to see what that could be. And I'm with you that, like, for me, if 85 people quit NFL.com and they had me do this list, I would probably also put quarterbacks just much higher than other positions, but that does beg the question, and I couldn't be more down on Mitch Trubisky, sitting him down at 101. I mean, it's also kind of an intriguing number just to put a quarterback at. We've done it in the past. I know you have with Geno Smith and others, but I mean, he's being a little devalued then at 101 because he could be a starter in certain situations depending on what happens.
Well, as
I can't believe I'm defending Mitch Trubisky.
You guys know this, but if there's any new listeners, 101 is a special honor that we usually spend more time kind of debating who's going to be the 101 right. this year. It's got to have some pop.
It has to have sizzle.
It actually doesn't even make sense because as guys come on and off the list with franchise tags and cuts and whatever, we still leave the anchor at 101. Like Trubisky really would be moving up for a while, but he felt good. That's my evaluation. That I don't think he
and you project. Is,
I don't projection. Think he's good. I think he's just an okay backup and with limited upside. I have him lower than Tyrod, for instance.
And I get it, Greg. I mean, it's part of this, and it's why you're being paid is to project. And you see Jameis Winston at some time becoming. Because, yes, I'm sure he put up numbers that you could look back and say, "Oh, these are pretty good numbers." But he just never. There's a reason Tampa Bay got rid of him. And he barely saw the field last year, of course. And like, for instance, you have Andy Dalton.
He might be a little high. He might be
down at 48. High. I mean, and I'm not saying Andy Dalton is anyone's like an example of a star quarterback at this stage, but like, who would I rather have as my backup or a fringe starter? I would take Andy. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick, who you have, which I was pleasantly surprised you have him higher than I would have expected, at 30. It just, to me, again, points out, like, what has Jameis Winston done in his career? I mean, at the same time, Ryan Fitzpatrick's never been to the playoffs, but...
He's very clearly above your Dalton line then, Greg. Jameis Winston.
Ooh. Well, he's above Dalton. It's a good question. Like, these are all these quarterbacks, and I'm throwing Cam in there, who I haven't totally given up on either, that I would put below the Dalton scale, actually, you know, in terms of are they a franchise guy right now? Are they better than average? But I think you could, like, survive. Jameis is 27. That's part of it, is I do think there's a chance here he can have this a pretty good second back half of his career. It's like, think of Fitzpatrick at 27. I do think that there's a route here where he is a mid-level starting quarterback. And I guess it depends on how much you value that. Like, is that more than do you want that more than Romeo Okwara on these rankings? Like, I don't know. There's no right answer.
I'm with you on that.
You have Jake Brisket at 63. I feel like in the 60s would have been my spot for Jameis Winston. But it's over. I want to throw a couple out there. Why don't we do the generator again? Yeah, let's hit the generator again. See what's going on.
This time, Mark has to talk about him.
All right, 81, Mark.
81, I'm sure I'll have no end to the comments.
Alden Smith, edge rusher, most recently with the Cowboys. He was a big comeback story. Is that somebody you want on your team, Mark, if you're looking for some pass rush?
I know what the Cowboys were trying. Like, they were trying to do what I think another team could do, is, like, you add him to what they thought would be a spicy defense. I think it's just hard to evaluate almost anyone from that Cowboys defense last year because they were so disorganized. I mean, there were complaints about the coordinator right away. Alden Smith, I thought, had moments where you saw it. And I mean, this is still one of the most mesmerizing edge rushing athletes and just physical presences that I can recall, like, covering in the NFL. He was so incredibly ferocious with the Niners and created such havoc. For him to go away and go through all he did and come back and look at times really productive for the Cowboys, I would take a shot. I also think that, like, part of free agency this time around is going to be trying to get guys on lower money, shorter term deals that might have a little upside. And this it's going to have to be the right environment, the right coach, the right situation, but why not? He could add a little pop to a team. I mean, I don't think it's just, you know, the teams are going to be more cap strapped. I kind of like the idea of him going somewhere and contributing.
Could have been a comeback player of the year in a normal year, potentially. But he faded hard down the stretch. That was why he got buried a little bit in these rankings.
I want to share some buyer bewares when I looked at your list. So maybe I disagree a little bit with the placement, but not even so much about where you have the place, but just thoughts about where these guys are going forward. You have Corey Davis. He's ranked number 32. You know, once upon a time, a first round bust, and then he finally broke out this past season and had almost 1,000 yards in 14 games. I do have concerns, Greg, that a team looks at that fifth season and says, okay, that's the guy that the Titans thought they were getting. And then you move him out of a situation where you have the 2,000-yard rusher in Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, the monster wide receiver on the outside, and you put him into a situation where it's not so – and a really fine quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. If you don't put him into a situation where he's just a piece of the puzzle, I feel like that could go sideways.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that was having him fairly low, like guys like Curtis Samuel and Juju and are ahead of him. He would have been a fifth year option type, and they declined it. To me, that's a red flag. Like I know he had a nice year, but they valued him so little a year ago that you didn't even give him that option, which is its own conversation. They've done that back to back years with Conklin and Corey Davis. And I don't know if that's really paid off for them, but I'm with you. I would be a little worried about him just because he's like young, coming off a good season, doesn't mean he's worth huge money.
Their offense too seems like it clicks because all those parts fit together so well. And like, I'm with you that if he goes somewhere else and it's just an add-on, like I would much prefer like Curtis Samuel, for instance. I think he could kind of do it all for anyone. They got a lot out of him last year.
Like you had, I believe at number 100, my boy Brashad Perryman, another example. Like, if you're going to go get Perryman, don't do what the Jets did last year, which is hope he's going to be your big deep threat on the outside and really need a big presence. You got to kind of slot him in the way he was in Tampa his last season there, where he's just a piece of the puzzle and then he could give you things. It's about what you're asking for certain guys. Richard Sherman at 59, more like an age thing that you could get sucked into the name brand side of things. And I don't know what you're going to – how many 33-year-old cornerbacks play the game at a high level? I know he's a legend or maybe not a legend, but a Hall of Famer most likely. That one's on my radar. Antonio Brown at 64. I think you kind of wrote about it, Greg, but I don't like him anywhere but under Tom Brady's thumb and having that situation under control. Hassan Reddick, he's interesting. We talked about him earlier with the news of J.J. Watt. I would like some, and Greg, maybe I'd be interested in your insight on this one, because he had that historic level game last November or December, whatever it was, that spiked his numbers. But is he a guy that, I'm a team desperate for a pass rush. Is Reddick going to be actually the guy you want, or was that a bit of a inflated situation, a guy that hadn't done a ton in his first few years?
Right, another guy that could have been a fifth-year option, and they didn't even put him – like, he was on my potential cuts list going into last season. Like, that's how much he transformed his career. I always am wary of those guys that just have – you got to look at the last 4 years, not just, like, the 1 year – like where they suddenly pop. Sometimes it sticks, though. You know, sometimes it sticks and they change their career. But I would be wary. He reminds me a little bit of – he's not nearly the player, but D Ford a few years ago where kind of popped up and had one good year after having a lot of hype, and that has not worked out for the 49ers.
Well, a friend of the show, Jason Zumwalt, who is a Cardinals super fan, also felt like Reddick last year was used correctly for the – first yeah. time. And with Jones out of the lineup, we kind of saw what he could do. But you're right. And it kind of, if I could throw one buyer beware in there too, someone like Matt Judon, for instance, I just am weary of Ravens guys. And it sort of is the Paul Kruger type thing that happened where he was massively overpaid, went to Cleveland, and never really was the same guy. That, like, is this because of the Ravens with some of these players, or is it because they could go do that anywhere? And they're a defense that they're big free agents that come out of there. I'm always a little bit suspect of.
McPhee was another one. Za'Darius Smith is kind of the one exception, but I'm totally with you. Sure. Like he is a guy. Judon, I think, has a lot of respect as like try hard guy, lunch pail guy. He's gonna do all this.
Hey.
You want him on your team, but is he like some like awesome edge rusher outside of Baltimore? I don't know.
Nobody's even using. Like, children don't even know what lunch pails are at this point.
My kids, they bring in school lunch. You're right. It's not. I think my son had a pail. He had a pail.
I should introduce my children to lunch boxes. It's not a thing in our house. I'll speak only for my children then.
Ricky, hit the generator. Ooh. 96. Ooh. Okay, we're in the deep reaches of the top 101.
Stinky.
And that will be Dan Arnold, the tight end out of Arizona.
5 minutes on Dan Arnold, Dan. Go.
Yeah, I really don't have much to say at all on Dan Arnold. And it looks like neither did you, because you just have basically his weight. And
Wait, what? He's a good player. I thought
he's good at catching.
Yeah, he made some big plays for them. I think you could get him at a good value, and he'd exceed what you might be guessing.
I mean,
hit the generator again.
That deadline. No, I liked it. First of all, Dan Arnold is Kevin Arnold's dad on The Wonder Years, so that's something.
Well, that's worth extra money right there.
But here he's the one Dan point Laura. I want to make on Dan Arnold would be is, you know, he's only 220 pounds. If you're 220 pounds, just like be a tight end, call yourself a tight end, and suddenly you're like one of the most athletic pass catching tight ends in the league. I don't know why he's a tight end and not a wide receiver or what it is exactly, because he is like unbelievably athletic. But it's like if he's a receiver, you wouldn't be that impressed.
By the way, the actor that portrayed Kevin Arnold's father was Dan Lauria, and his name on the show was John or Jack Arnold.
Well, it's sort of, you can see where correction. I can.
Yeah, absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. All right, generate me. 28. Okay, this is better. Let's get into the top 30 again. Number 28, it falls on Hunter Henry, another tight end. Okay. Mm. You know, I think you had this one hit well, Greg, that he's a guy that's battled a lot of injuries, obviously, and that's something to keep in mind, but he's still just 26. And who knows, maybe his best football is ahead and he becomes the guy that the Chargers thought he was out of college, which is like a true star guy that would take the crown from Antonio Gates and just pile up 1,000-yard seasons. Maybe he's not that guy, but if he stays healthy, he's a perfectly serviceable 600 to 750-yard guy with a handful of touchdowns, and teams will take that.
Yeah, I think of those games where he helped win them at the end with Herbert and Rivers over the last few years. How many of those like game-winning drives they had where it included a 20-yard shot up the seam to Henry? They might tag him the second straight year. He would be like the second highest paid tight end in the league. It gets into a weird situation, but it's possible. I like him and Jonnu Smith. I put Jonnu Smith one spot ahead of Henry, but both those guys are pretty good tight ends to be available.
I have to also say, like, because of the injuries and some, you know, changes all on that team too, it's like tight ends, it's not unusual that they really start to find their way in year three or four. And he hasn't really had like these consistent starts. So I think he'd be a good signing, but I'd like to see him stay with the Chargers and not pull weapons away from Justin Herbert.
I know. I'm worried about Herbert. The whole, like, you just hired Joe Lombardi to be their offensive coordinator, I feel like has been under the radar and is concerning.
Austin Hooper, who was a big tight end signing last year in free agency with the Browns, got 4 for 42. So I wonder if that's kind of.
And I don't think that he did what they thought he would. So you've got to be careful what you're paying to some of these guys.
Hit the generator again, Ricky.
Make a play, Hooper. Oh, he finally made a play right at the end of the season.
All right, so let's move down to spot 24. Curtis Samuel, a wide receiver. I like this one, Greg. You summed it up well in your blurb. Well, speaking of things we miss with Wes, we used to play the game where we would guess, Mark and I, who wrote which blurb, and
it was so obvious.
Very obvious. But the best were when Wes would kind of drift off and get a little more philosophical about something, and the blurb would just be like, whoa, where did this come from? none of those. But if you want to read some of the older 101s, the blurbs were a piece of art itself. Not to take anything away from your blurbs, Greg, which are very good as well.
No, they were, you know, those like one-liners on Dan Arnold at like 8 p.m. on a Friday. I'm thinking, what the f*** am I doing here?
You're a master at brevity, though. I will say that's a very tough skill in writing. And you find a way to say something in one or two sentences that throws a punch.
Maybe that's the old editor. I do try to go back and take out a lot on the edit.
See how we built him back up there, Mark?
Yeah,
like he was on the edge there.
I mean, it's not great. I'm not taking any big, but I do try to knock out a lot of words on the edit. My favorite thing on the 101 write-ups, though, were when Wes especially in the early years, completely disagreed with my ranking, and then even then when it averaged out, and then he got assigned that guy,
ooh,
and it'd be like, yeah, let's say it was Jameis Winston. Let's say he got assigned Jameis Winston.
It was score settling time.
He would just bury it. And it would make no sense. It'd be like, number one player, Jadeveon Clowney. This guy is an atrocity. He did a little with Brady last year. Brady and Breeze, he thought were way too high. And he just kind of like buried them anyways. These old guys can barely get out of bed. It's like, come on.
Curtis Samuel at 25, though. What I was getting at was that your blurb points out that he's a perfect type of receiver for a lot of the way football is played on offense right now.
He's awesome. And it just goes to show how much a coach can change your value, because now you see all the different things that he could do under Matt Rhule. And I was so excited when they would give him carries. He was such a good running back. He was a good inside running back. It really showed a skill set that was unique. 100, you know, you don't want to do it too much. He's 195, 200 pounds, but he had this weird mix, kind of like Antonio Gibson with Washington, although, you know, he's obviously not as much of a running back, where he's like your speed guy on end arounds, but also can be like a power runner who breaks tackles. I don't know. They just didn't used to have players like that. It's pretty cool.
I mean, I think it helped to have Christian McCaffrey out of the mix, and you saw more of what he could do. And I think he gets paid well because you could see him fitting with so many different teams. To your point, Dan, that he just fits what offense is today. And I think if anything, you'd have to thank Matt Rhule and friends for really showcasing him last
season.
He'll
get huge money. I'm totally with you.
All right. I had some value buys here, so I'm going to throw a few out there. You have T.Y. Hilton at 47. We saw what he did at the end of the season. Has to go to the right location, right team, if he doesn't stay in Indy. But I like the idea of him having another year in the tank. I had mentioned Dalton at 48. I think he's a great backup, fringe starter guy. Chris Carson, the running back, at 53. Nelson Aguilar you have at 56. And Marvin Jones at 57. Two veteran receivers. Aguilar finally broke out. I think both those guys are far better options than Sammy Watkins, who you have at 60. And then two guys coming off Achilles with Indy that I would think would be well worth a flyer. Marlon Mack at 84 and Malik Hooker at 92. I think any of those guys, if things fall the right way, you might get nice production at a deflated cost.
Yeah, I always think injured guys are an undervalued part of the market. Like so many of the best value deals over the years, like Jason Verrett last year, granted the 49ers had to do it a couple times to get it to pop, but are just guys coming off injuries that end up being like great players, but their value. I like Marlon Mack. I'm with you there.
Isn't that short-sighted? I mean, shouldn't front offices have that same view? It's like we only really remember what people have done so recently that the injury kind of takes so much money away from these guys.
Yeah, like the 1 year deal. Like Sammy Watkins is a guy that at this point it's been so often that it makes sense he's gonna get discounted. But even he, right. Like Sammy Watkins is the ultimate. Like he's how old? How is he only 27 or 8 still? It's like it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's finally I don't know. He still is 27. He's been 27 for 7 years. But he is finally, now that he's 28 and he's back in free agency, I think he needs to now hand the crown over to Juju Smith-Schuster. Wait, this guy's still only 27? Like, Juju in 3 years will only be 27. It feels like he's been in the league for 15 years. So maybe he gets the crown.
He's 24. Wow, that's true. Yeah, I'll be interested in how he gets paid, because he's like maybe not what people are looking for, like a Curtis Samuel type. But he is – I think you shouldn't just sleep on like a good physical number two receiver. He should still do fine.
Especially if you're the Steelers and you're bringing back Big Ben. He's perfect for – Ben, if you're serious about, you know, having some continuity.
I'm going to talk about a lunch pail guy. People get on. This is why it annoys me. People get on Juju for the social media stuff. It's like if there's someone in the NFL that has the spirit of like Hines Ward or these rugged, like blocking, gonna like take the hardest hit possible over the middle guy that you would think would, you know, people would like that toughness. That's Juju. He sort of is a weirdly cast as this like, you know, flaky guy, but that's how he plays football.
He's a study in contrast is what he is. One more time with the generator and then we'll say goodbye.
Generators, we're getting our money's worth from this thing.
Generating. We paid like $7,000 for it. 67. Right.
Mark, go.
67. Mark Sessler, Quan Williams, the cornerback.
I think Quan Williams, you know, another guy that's gone through so much with injuries, but was such a signature type Robert Saleh guy last year who just they got the most out of him. When you look at the Niners,
Jets
it's Jacristi Tart, yeah. It's Richard Sherman. Saleh's gone. Quan Williams has gone. A lot of issues with, like, their defense is going to look and feel so much different. But Quan Williams was an old Mike Pettine dude in Cleveland, too. I think he's a good player. It's just been durability, I think, you know, when he's not been available. But he played well for the Niners when he was on the
But why do you disagree with 67? Because I know you do.
No, because I think, first of all, and this is why I think that there's a real skill to the way that Greg and Wes did this list, is that to me, when you get past like 60, I kind of just see them all the same for the most part. It's like they're, to me, like there's no difference between 67 and 77. So you're not, I can manufacture a hot take. How about put them at 61? On our list, Dan, I think we had them up at maybe 65, which is, that shows that we think a little bit more about him. But we're keeping our list under wraps this time around. No reason for controversy.
I think that's a smart thing right now where we are as a podcast. But, Mark, off the top of your head, where should Jameis Winston be on a top 101 free agent list?
He maybe is too high. Yeah. You guys making me.
I'd put him in the low 40s. But here's the thing. I'm completely with Greg that if you're going to sign up for a quarterback that's going to start 14 games, he's serviceable, he's good, he's much more valuable than almost anyone else on this list.
Maybe I'm the only one that remembers the game in London that we attended, Jameis Winston, when he had 17 turnovers.
If you put him with Pat Shurmur, no thank you. So it's like, to me, it's about where he lands.
It's one of those things. He started out at probably around 40, and then it's like, you do it again, you move. Oh, I like Jameis. Move him up a little more. Oh, you move him up a little more. But now if like the file was due after this podcast, I would move him just back to 40, just from your influence.
Ricky, we need like a bell now. Whenever Mark gets in one of his Pat Shurmur digs, we got to have just like a little bell that rings. It's like a ding.
Does anyone else not see a difference between Sean Payton and Pat Shurmur?
No, I think you nailed it. I'm just saying that you do find a way to bring that man up in a negative context very often on this program. That's all.
Is he still the Broncos offensive coordinator, by the way? I think he is, right? They didn't fire him.
Because he ultimately, listen, the thing about him is like, I get it, Mark. Like, he was a bust in Cleveland, but you could have put, a peak Lombardi in there at that time and no head coach was going to come out of that alive.
Well, it was more that I believe it was Mike Lombardi who wrote that he was getting phone calls sort of unasked for from people saying that whenever we watch Pat Shurmur's offense, we know what the play is before the snap.
Ding! Consider the source there, but yeah.
Well, I am, but I just, that stuck out to me. And then when I'd watch them play, it was like, they do seem kind of milquetoast and predictable. And I don't think that he's disproven that with the Giants or the Broncos.
One of those guys, though, that when I saw him in person, I remember after the Vikings lost in the NFC Championship, more swole than you would expect, like very in
good shape.
And a good-looking guy in his 40s more than I really would have thought. He kind of seemed like a forgettable guy, but he was like, he was pretty jacked.
And I conveniently forgot the Vikings part of his career, which was spectacular, so consider the source on that front.
Ding!
Yeah, right. It was like Case Keenum running around and like throwing like up in the air and seemed a little wild.
Yeah,
he got a head coaching job out of it, so I don't feel too bad.
Doesn't matter. He went to the Giants and he got old man Eli and the first year of Daniel Jones and the 2011 and 12 Browns. Like, what is going on there? I think that's Manziel and maybe Josh McCown.
Well, no, it was Colt McCoy into Brandon Whedon, where Mott Brandon owned. Whedon's getting lost
save
under
it,
a flag.
That's all I'm saying. Pat Shurmur right. podcast.
That's all I'm saying.
Cut to my text before the show. I'm like, hey, if we have a 40-minute show, there's no crime in that. Cut to minute 72 where we've talked Pat Shurmur for 5 straight minutes.
That's why it's gotten to the point where I don't usually reply to those, not out of any like animosity or anything. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, if that ever happens, I will be happily stunned.
Hey, hit us up on Twitter if you think the show is too long. We'll reconvene and re-strategize. Greg, good work, buddy. That is, in all seriousness, that's a tough one as we go through this. And you guys are so linked on that top 101. So you did it alone as you had to. And it's good stuff. So check it out, NFL.com/top101. Next time you hear from us will be Thursday. And we will have a special guest lined up. So make sure you – a former general manager in the NFL.
How he actually that? Was. He's been on our show one other time. If people really wanted to try to
friend of the show,
yeah,
he was actually on our show when they were like redoing the podcast studio at our old office, which we haven't seen in a year now. So this particular person we were like almost in like a closet, a utility closet, and he couldn't have been more of a professional at that time.
And it was a part of the studio, the television studio where we were doing it. And I think it was about 25 degrees in there. I remember us complaining heavily because there were two or three shows in that room that it was untenable, the conditions.
This is where I really wonder, like, what has happened to me? Because I really don't remember this. I mean, I remember that studio setup, but I don't remember this guest being with us there. But I'm going to just trust you.
I do. Yeah, I have some theories why the short-term memory is not there, but we'll get to that in another show. All right. Yes. So we'll be back Thursday. This is Dan Hansa signing off for the old boss, the Quiet Storm, Ricky Hollywood behind the virtual glass. Till then, heed the call. How about that?
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.